It is the year 2018, and life has lost all meaning. What once was up is down. What once was right is wrong. And those who dare to make a podcast which subversively reanimates the dead art of radio theater are considered dangerous criminal outcasts. Driven into exile, four pungent brigands risk their lives each week to broadcast from a South Seas barge, crudely fashioned from the disintegrating corpse of an ancient titan and several thousand yards of cooking twine, to bring you the triumph, the majesty, the sublimity of rude alchemy. Greetings. Greetings. I've prepared a brief statement. As you all know, my consciousness now inhabits the sumptuous body of a gorgeous Korean sex doll. A female. A woman. I'm sorry. I must admit, I rather callously believed this change would make my life better. Dare I say, easier. I couldn't have been more wrong. First of all, there's the pay cut. According to my calculations, my paychecks have all been reduced by exactly 23%. Which wouldn't be so bad, except now I have all these added expenses. Birth control? Well, really, it's just birth control, but my health plan doesn't cover it. I'm digressing. Stick to the statement, narrator, come on. The worst part, all the unwanted sexual advances. At first, it was flattering, even fun, but it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until now. It ends here, right now. I'm going public. Here it is. The writer/producers of this podcast are sexist, misogynistic, and inappropriate. It's time the world knew. I expect my fans on social media will do their part to shame them properly. Thank you. All right, thanks for hearing me out. Feels good to get that off my chest. Now, on to Poe Green and the Ghost Machine.
Poe Green and the Ghost Machine is brought to you by Toys R Us. Can you believe it? Our first real sponsor. This is great. This is fantastic. This... Oh, fuck!
And Rafe are hiding in an abandoned house. Rafe sits in a chair playing solitaire by candlelight while Pa paces across the room.
Where is he?
Said he'd be here, he'll be here.
He said he'd be here by sundown. It's nearly dawn.
It's just about 3:30, hardly dawn.
Hardly sundown?
I ain't the man's keeper. He's gotten us this far, let's just trust that he knows what he's doing. I think he's at least demonstrated that.
Know what he's doing? Gotten us this far? How far? We're alone, in a house with no power, no food, no water, and we can't leave the damn place lest we be kidnapped or murdered in cold blood by who the hell knows what, and all because some guy, some thing, as far as I'm concerned, told us so? I have half a mind to...
To what? To leave? Well, it's certainly clear where the boy got his brains, or lack thereof, anyway.
Don't you talk about my son. You don't get to talk about him after what you did.
What I did? I assume you mean save the damn world.
You tell yourself whatever you want, whatever you have to.
I tell myself the truth, always have.
And what is that? What's the truth?
The truth is, your boy was set to bring this whole world into chaos with his little doohickey machine.
He didn't know. He didn't know what it could do.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but either way, it's on you.
Me?
Yes, you. You could have ended this a long time ago.
That's your problem, Rafe. Always has been. You thought I had a choice.
You didn't?
Killing my boy was never an option.
It was to some of us. This whole damn thing could have been avoided.
I didn't see you trying to pull any triggers.
The two men stood staring at each other. The flicker of the flame danced between them, and they silently acknowledged the truth. Mistakes had been made on both sides. And now it may very well be too late for any correction in their course to be made. Their only hope lay with one man.
Good evening, gentlemen. I trust you have been keeping yourselves occupied in my absence.
Before anyone had a chance to react to his sudden movement, Pa threw his fist into Tangier's face, knocking him against the wall and drawing a trickle of bread from the smarmy man's upper lip.
You tell us where the hell you've been for the last 2 days and what the hell is going on, or I swear to God I'll beat you to a bloody pulp.
But of course, Monseigneur. But first...
No, this first. You tell me what I want to know before anything else.
We must move. We are in danger.
We're in danger anywhere we go, to hear you tell it.
This is why we must move frequently.
I ain't moving another foot till you give me some answers.
Very well. I will answer one question, and then we leave. Agreed?
Agreed.
Make it count.
Who or what the hell are you?
Meanwhile, some dozen miles away, a black-encrusted creature opened his eyes to find himself lying in the cold, dank remains of what was once a splendidly beautiful and sprawling estate upon a hill. As Poe opened his dry mouth and inhaled the dusty air, he was overcome with nausea. He blinked away the ash that covered his body and slowly tried to move his limbs. He slowly regained full control over his body, though it was rusty, and it took him some time to get the old thing off the ground. He felt an odd sensation, like his own body wasn't his, but rather a vehicle he was driving. As he stood up, he had to concentrate on his balance. Finally, he was on his 2 feet and looked out at a clear blue sky that was visible through the few remaining blackened beams. Poe heard the low groan from just a few feet away. He began to climb over the charred remains of the burnt house and move away what rubbish he was able to. Finally, he saw a dark hand lying atop of a piece of broken wood. He pushed off a large plank and saw the most strikingly beautiful woman he had ever seen laying before him. Though she was covered in soot and dirt and seemed to be only half conscious, Poe could make out her plush lips, high cheekbones, slim waist, and long, long legs. And the boobs. My God, the boobs!
Who the hell are you?
Poe could not stop staring at this goddess that lay before him, with boobs that rivaled even the best set he'd ever seen, either in real life or in the nickel peep show rags that he used to look at so often in his mortal life. Oh, sure, some might have considered it to be a problem, but he was fairly certain he had it under control. He could have stopped any time he wanted to. He just...
Excuse me.
Hmm?
Do you mind?
I'm just setting the scene.
I don't think they need to know about that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were the new narrator, Poe. Would you like to take over the entire f***ing show?
Oh, don't pull that shit with me, you hairy wildebeest-looking jackass. Just leave my masturbatory habits out of it, okay?
Okay, jeez. Sore subject, huh?
Move on, dammit.
Fine. So there he stood, admiring this gorgeous woman that lay before him. Clearly she worked out. I mean, she was taut. Not muscular. At least not overly so. She was toned, definitely, but not defined. You know what I mean, right? Yeah. And those boobs. Just... Wow.
Hey, you okay?
Oh, who, what, where am I?
This used to be the home of the ectoplasmites, a secret cult that was hell-bent on ending the world. They met their end in a blaze of fire, though. You okay? Easy now.
The woman began to stand.
Come here.
She was still weak and clearly in a bit of a fog, but she was regaining control of her faculties quickly. She brushed off what dust and dirt she could, and only became more beautiful as she did so. And Poe.
Yeah?
Poe.
What?
I got something good for you. And, she was wearing one of those halter tops, you know? You know the ones. They're tied around the chest with the spaghetti straps, so everything is... accentuated, yeah.
Who are you? How did you get here?
Oh, it's me.
Huh. You don't look Asian.
What? No, me. It's Missandra.
Holy shit, you're Missandra?
Yes, don't you... Oh, dear, that's right.
What?
You only know me in my natural state. You see, I'm an ethereal being. I never had an earthly life.
You're a demon.
That's rather pejorative, but for simplicity's sake, yes. One could refer to me as a demon should one choose to be so basic. In any event, I have no human form. On the rare and much loathed occasions where I am required to appear before humanity, I must take a human form.
Well, you certainly splurged for the high-end model.
Hmm? Oh, yes, I prefer to take on the form of a beautiful woman. I find it makes things go much smoother.
How so?
Well, humanity is rather interesting, you see. While the history of mankind has certainly been driven and written by the masculine gender, males as a whole seem to be entirely unable to control themselves around hot and sexy women. Ugly? Sure, not a problem. Even beautiful, but not hot women. Like the kind of woman where you think, oh yeah, I could get down with that, no problem. She's cute and has a little quirkiness to her, like a sexy smile or some quality that just kind of gets you going. Even with them, men seem to be able to control themselves for the most part, but super hot, drop-dead, gorgeous, fantastically beautiful women? The world seems to stop for them.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
Of course, it's not without its drawbacks. Poe? Poe? Hey, Poe, look at me.
Yeah, sorry, but what?
Yes, that's gonna happen on occasion. I'll need to find a sweater or something. How do we get out of here?
Looks like what... Sorry, I got extra saliva. Looks like we'll have to hike for a bit.
Very well, let's get going, shall we?
Hello.
Before Poe and Missandra stood a most gaunt and unimpressive man. Like them, he was covered in soot and dirt, but did not seem to be bothered or affected by it at all. He stood straight, arms to his side, with an odd little half-smile. His gaze was fixed on them and created within Poe a slight uneasiness that he could not quite understand.
Who are you?
I'm Mitchell.
Oh, right. It's coming back to me now. You're the vampire, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, come on then, this way.
And so the trio climbed their way out of the rubble and began the trek down the mountainside.
That is a complicated question to answer.
Ooh, good. We're back in the house, doing a lot of jumping around this episode, keeping me on my toes. I like it.
Well, it's the one I asked. Now, who are you?
You do not have the aptitude to understand. I am neither a who nor a what. I do not exist in the same way as you.
Well, I'm looking at you, ain't I?
So you are. And yet... You do not see.
Don't talk in riddles.
You're wasting your time. The man ain't gonna tell you anything worthwhile.
How the hell do you know?
'Cause the Office of Incorporeal Management has been trying to figure it out for a lot longer than you'll be able to spend on it. He's a riddle without an answer. But he does happen to make himself useful from time to time.
How so?
Information, mostly. We don't kid ourselves. We know he only tells us what he wants us to know. He ain't helping us unless it benefits him somehow, but still, the info always checks out and makes our jobs easier. We've had all sorts look into him. Best detectives you can hire, alive or dead. Psychics, priests, hell, we even consulted with a shaman once. Nothing. No one could figure him out.
Well, that's about to change.
Is it?
It is.
How is that?
'Cause we got something you want now. We have the upper hand, for once.
We do?
We do.
And, what is that?
Me!
With that, Paul withdrew a revolver from the back of his pants and pointed it squarely at his own head.
I'm exhausted. We're gonna have to take a break.
I'm afraid we don't have that kind of time.
Well, then we'll need to speed this up. We can't be walking all around Beverly Hills. Not only is this town freaking huge, we're gonna draw suspicion.
As if on cue, a black Mercedes pulled up alongside of the weary travelers. A moment later, the driver's side window rolled down to reveal Mitchell behind the wheel.
Y'all need a lift.
You were just right next to me! If you were to...
It's better to not ask questions. Just get in.
As they sped down the Los Angeles hills, Missandra turned to speak to Poe in the back seat.
Okay, where is your father? We need you to kill him so we can get back home. I need to get out of this hellhole as quickly as possible.
Hellhole? You're from actual hell.
I know, but it's got nothing on L.A.
Since Rude Alchemy is still trying to get a development deal, we'd like to be clear that Los Angeles is, in fact, a beautiful city filled with a fine people who embody a rich and sophisticated culture that is, in many ways, the envy of the world. Sure, the film industry is rampant with sexual harassment ranging from rape to pedophilia, but we're really hoping for an animated pilot we submitted to get greenlit, so hashtag time's up, hashtag me too, and hashtag visitcalifornia.com.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but we're quite a ways from Pa. He's back home in Sklankville.
No, he's here, in the city, or nearby at least.
How do you figure that?
Can you not sense him?
Sense him? The closest I've ever come to sensing my father is smelling the whiskey he'd sweat out after a night of binge drinking.
He's not far.
Can you track him?
I'm trying. The boy is too familiar. Can't tell their scents apart.
What do you suggest?
I need to go it alone. I'll find them, then double back and get you two.
I don't love the idea of us splitting up.
It's the only way. Mitchell, drop us off downtown and then go find them. When you get a location, come back and find us.
Won't he have just as much of a problem finding us, what with our similar scents and all?
I'm taking care of that.
Missandra turned from the passenger side window and shielded her eyes with her left arm. With her right arm, she punched the window with an incredible force. The glass shattered abruptly, causing the hot summer air to gush into the car. She bent forward and picked a shard of glass off the car floor, and in one fluid movement, she plunged it into her forearm and drew back, cutting a large gash in her flesh. She held the bloody wound up to Mitchell's face.
Get a good whiff, bad boy.
Mitchell's face contorted from the calm and serene one Poe had seen since first meeting him in the burned-down house to a vicious and rabid monster. Fangs sprung from his teeth, his eyes turned gold and red, and his flesh turned fire red. He let out a blood-curdling scream as he inhaled the intoxicating smell of Missandra's blood. In his excitement, he slammed the gas pedal down, pushing the Mercedes to well over 100 miles per hour. The force of the sudden acceleration pushed Poe against the back seat of the car, and without realizing it, he said a prayer for his safety. To whom his petition was addressed, he was not entirely sure.
What do you think you're doing?
Still holding the gun to his own head, Pa stared directly at the mysterious man across from him. He kept his hand steady, knowing that he could not allow Tangier to see any weakness from him.
I'm playing the only card I got.
Damn it, put the gun down. What the hell is shooting yourself gonna accomplish?
Everything. At least everything this son of a bitch doesn't want.
You do not understand.
I understand that you showed up on my doorstep 3 weeks ago and told me that the entire world is dependent on me. You convinced me to follow you out here and watch my damn son die, only apparently he's not dead according to you, whatever the hell that means. You told me that keeping me safe was your one and only priority. Well,
Pa cocked the gun.
Looks like the priority is in jeopardy.
Listen.
All I've done is listen. All I want to do is listen. I just want to listen to the right stuff. Now, if it's so damn important that I stay safe, then you better start talking. Or I swear on my dead wife, I will pull this trigger.
Fine.
Who are you?
I am a scale.
Huh? A scale?
I am tasked with the responsibility to ensure certain forces are kept in balance. The universe is fine-tuned to an incredible extent, and even a small, imperceptible shift in any number of constants would cause the entire thing to collapse on itself. Right now, forces are at work trying to alter those constants. We are on the precipice of a great shift in power that will undo reality. Time and space will cease to exist. The universe itself will implode into nothingness.
Even if that's true, what the hell could I possibly have to do with preventing it?
Nothing. But Poe has everything to do with it.
Poe? You know...
There is very little I do not know.
I never thought I just... I was so selfish.
You were in love.
What's he talking about? I mean, I knew Poe was some sort of dark force. She showed up on our radar years ago, but... What was your involvement?
He's not a dark force, Wraith. He's a damn Antichrist.
Well, that is technically a dark force, but whatever.
I made a deal. With him. With Satan. I kept asking the man upstairs, but I never heard back. Then, one day, there he was. Man standing in my shop, offering me the deal of a lifetime.
You made a deal with the devil?
He would get his Antichrist, and I'd get...
You'd get what? What the hell did you get for that?
I got my boy.
Huh?
Shirley and I had been trying for years, but nothing was happening. I wanted kids, sure, but I just kept thinking that as long as I had her, I was fine with wherever the chips fell. She was all I cared about. But as the years wore on, I could see it in her eyes. She wanted a baby. She wanted a family. She started to change. Eventually, the depression set in, and she just wasn't herself anymore. I was losing her. And I just couldn't stand it. Shirley could have had any guy she wanted, but she had the dumb luck of falling for a loser like me, and I couldn't give her the one damn thing she wanted, the one thing she really needed, a child.
I'm so sorry. I had no idea. So he...
Yeah, he came to me. He knew everything. I was in such shock, I didn't know how to respond. We'd never told anyone of our troubles, so how could he have known? He told me that we'd both win. I'd give my wife the baby she'd always wanted, and he'd have the vessel he needed. Hell, Shirley didn't need to know a thing. And the shit of it is, I felt so damn guilty. I knew I was cheating her somehow. That someday she'd figure it out. And hell, when she gave birth and looked at that boy's face for the first time, she said the thing that broke my damn heart into 1,000 pieces. I want to name him after his father. Shirley died 3 months later. The sickness came and took her real quick. She died happy, though. I've always been thankful for that. But I had to look at this boy every day all by myself. My damn namesake. The ticking time bomb that I helped bring into this world. I had to look at my wife's wish come true and call him by my name. Knowing that one day he'd destroy us all. God help me, I loved him. I tried not to. Oh, Lord, did I try not to. But I love the damn boy. I love him. So much.
That's why you drank.
It was the only thing left. I turned to the bottle and never looked back until this son of a bitch showed up.
Tangier suddenly turned and ran to the window. He peered out and then quickly ran to the table, blew out the candle, and whispered to Pa and Rafe.
We need to go, now.
Why? What's wrong?
They found us.
Here we are.
And where would that be?
We need to take care of a few things before we see your father.
Like what? I thought you wanted to get out of here ASAP.
I do, but there are a lot of moving parts here, Poe. What do you think will happen once you kill your father and fulfill your destiny? Do you think we just gonna go home and play Parcheesi?
You know, I never found out what Parcheesi is.
Oh, really?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's a really fun game. I have to teach you.
I would like that very much.
It's a date, then.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, I meant we could make it like a group thing.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean...
No, it's totally cool. Don't give it a thought.
Okay, well, we're here.
Oh, God. There's such an awkward vibe right now. I hate it when these things happen. Oh, God. You know, this is why I'm alone. It's just not worth talking to pretty girls. Anyway, the two friends arrived at a large oak door underneath a quickie mart that they entered through the back entrance. They went into the basement and moved a large shelf that revealed a hidden passageway, and they crawled about 20 feet through a small tunnel that spilled them out into this really large cavern. That conversation they just had took place during the latter half of the crawl through the tunnel as Missandra led them. So Poe was looking right at her tight little ass the entire time he was getting rejected by her. I can only imagine that it added quite the sting to what was already a painful moment. Oh, no. Now he's doing that thing where she's talking to him and he's trying to act like he's not upset. But he also can't look directly at her, so he's pretending to study the walls or something. Oh, God, it's so pathetic. Oh, I can't even watch, no.
So, where are we again? These walls look interesting. Some carvings or something here. Weird.
We're at an entrance into the netherworld.
What's that even mean?
There will be forces helping protect your father. We have to stay one step ahead of them, or try to. These entrances are how they get to and from different realms.
So what are we going to do?
Destroy it.
What? Why?
The closest one of these entranceways is Alaska. I'm under the impression that only one member is here right now, so if we destroy this entranceway, then reinforcements will only be able to come from very far away. That will give us some time.
Wait, there's only one of these forces here to help my father? Why are we worried then? We can take on one.
These forces are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Just one of them can destroy all of us with very little effort given the right set of circumstances. And the one that is here is very, very powerful.
How do you know?
Because, Poe, he's my brother. Now, hand me that torch. I need to burn this motherfucker down.
Will Missandra be able to destroy an ancient and mystical entrance with a simple torch? Will Paul, Rafe, and Tangier be able to stay in hiding before Mitchell brings Missandra and Poe to them? Did you cry during Paul's monologue that revealed his motivation for making a deal with the devil was just love and devotion to his wife? Find out next time on Poe Green and the Ghost Machine, Part 2.
Poe Green and the Ghost Machine is brought to you by Rude Alchemy After Dark, a new series starting in May on Showtime. It's basically what we do now, but there's boobs. You don't see it going in, though, so depending on what you've exposed yourself to so far in life, it may or may not do it for you.
Wow, whoa, wow, wow, what a great episode. Now I suppose I can take a moment to check my various social media feeds and see what kind of support I'm getting from the internet community. Yep. All right. Whoa. It seems like all the writers/producers of Rude Alchemy were fired less than a minute after my statement. I didn't exactly intend for... Oh, holy shit. Holy shit. They burnt Andrew's house down. Yep. Yeah, that's definitely his house in a blazing inferno on Instagram. Oh, God, I hope his wife got out of time. Oh, God. Oh, better check Twitter. Okay. They threw acid in Tom's face! He's horribly disfigured now! Oh, good Lord, good Lord. Dare I check Facebook? Oh, here goes nothing. Yep, Andy's been decapitated. Jeez, it's funny. Actually, I don't think he even did anything inappropriate. Come to think of it, he was going to look into that payroll snafu for me. Might be tough now that they're dragging his entrails to the streets while wearing fuzzy pink vagina hats. Someone has a Pinterest page with nothing but pins of Andrew's house fire. Yep. Yeah, no, his wife didn't make it. Nope, not at all. Whew, okay, I really just was hoping you'd all kind of admonish them a bit, maybe get management to recommend some consent training or something, but utterly destroying their lives and everything they hold dear works too. Thanks all. Talk to you next time.
Rude Alchemy is Mr. Thomas Hodgkin, Mr. Andrew Kane, Mr. Andy Winter, and Mr. Ryan Whalen. Pogrin and the Ghost Machine story by Rude Alchemy with Mr. Hodgkin as lead story editor. This episode written by Mr. Hodgkin and edited by resident sound designer Mr. Michael Hahn. Featuring the voices of Rude Alchemy. Music composed by Mr. Benjamin Dara. For /attributions. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. To support Rude Alchemy and gain access to exclusive bonus content. To support Rude Alchemy and gain access to exclusive bonus content, including blooper reels from every season, visit rudealchemy.com/support. And finally, here I am with resident sound designer, Mr. Michael Hahn. Say hi, Michael. Whoops, forgot to take his gag out. Better leave it in for now. Mike's been re-editing all of the episodes that could possibly incriminate me for the narrator's murder. But it's not enough to exonerate me. I need to implicate someone else and bring them to justice. It's the only way she'll be sure to fall in love with me. And who better than my new friend right here? Caught tampering with old episodes. For shame, resident sound designer Mr. Michael Hahn. For shame! I already have. Play back the latest edit. Play it back! Play it back!
Then, as long as no repressed, unstable, sexually confused middle-aged man sneaks up behind me with a gun, then it's a happy end.
It's me. Resident sound designer Mr. Michael Hahn, and...
I told you to stay away from her!
Uncle...
Resident sound designer Mr. Michael Hahn.
No!
Pretty f***ing convincing, right? You're a dead man, Hahn. I know the producers can't wait to get rid of your bloated salary, too. Good night, all!